Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. Today we have two stories about healing. In these stories, someone makes a mistake or is wronged or wounded, but then someone steps in with the power of healing to transform the story. This happens in big and small ways in the stories of our own lives as well, doesn't it? Let's hear first from the UK storyteller, Shauna Lee. The story is called Elijah's Menorah, and it's just one of thousands of stories Shauna Lee learned from her grandmother in the Dritsila storytelling tradition, in which stories are passed down from grandmother to granddaughter. Again, thousands of them. Here's just one, Elijah's Menorah. Shauna Lee on the Appleseed.
The first story I'm going to tell you is called Elijah's Menorah. And the first question I'm going to ask you is, do you know what a menorah is? Yes. A menorah is a candlestick. It's a seven-branched candlestick that Jews use, and we light them for high holy days. And they're wonderful. They're beautiful things. They're also great in power cuts because you've got seven candles to light. And but the light that comes from them is incredibly bright. And that has been a part of Jewish culture for a very long time. Now, Elijah, I'm sure you've all heard of Elijah, right? And again, in Jewish culture, Elijah is a prophet. He's also a magician. Did you know that? He's a fool, because sometimes the fools are the wisest of us. And he's a bit of a trickster, and he has all these different coats that he wears. A long time ago, Elijah decided to go and visit the great rabbi, Rabbi Mendoza. Now, Rabbi Mendoza was known to be a kind man. He would always give to charity. He was learned, but he had one tiny fault. It was so small. He liked beautiful things. And he was a great collector. He would collect a goblet, a wine glass that was said to be used at Nebuchadnezzar's feast. He would collect an ear of corn that was said to be threshed by Ruth itself. He would collect beautiful things. Now, when Rabbi Mendoza asked Elijah to come and visit for supper over one of the high holy days, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement, well, Elijah went. But before he went, he prayed. And the night before he left, he got a dream. And the dream was this. Rabbi Mendoza has a silver menorah, the most beautiful menorah. And he loves it more than anything. He will offer you many gifts, because that is the custom. He will not want to give you the menorah, but you must ask for it. And so it was with a slightly heavy heart that Elijah went off, and he had a wonderful time. He had supper, they feasted, they said blessings, they discussed the Talmud, the holy books. They argued, because we love to argue about things. You know, you've heard the expression, two Jews, 12 opinions. It's true, absolutely true. And they had this wonderful evening, and then he stayed for a few days. And Rabbi Mendoza said, oh, you like that drinking cup? Please have it, because that is also the custom. You give gifts to your visitors. And he pressed gift after gift after gift on Elijah. And Elijah, as the day wore on and it was nearly time for him to leave, Rabbi Mendoza said, is there anything else that you would like? Is there anything else I haven't done for you? And Elijah said, well, there is one thing. You see that silver menorah in that cupboard? I would like you to gift me that. And he watched Rabbi Mendoza's face fall. because this was the most precious thing in his whole collection. And he watched the struggle, you know, inside the man when he didn't want to give it, but Elijah had asked for it, and it would be so rude not to, and so he put it off, and they had a few more drinks, and they had a little more arguing and discussion, and then it was time to leave, and he hoped that Elijah had forgotten. But Elijah hadn't. He said, "So, about the menorah?" He said, "Yes, yes, of course, of course." And it was wrapped up, and it was put in a great wooden chest with all the other gifts that he had received. And poor Rabbi Mendoza, he was almost in tears as he watched this menorah go. But he'd given it. And when Elijah got home and he opened up the chest and he explained about all of these wonderful presents and the time that he'd had, his wife said, "That's wonderful." And it was a Friday night. And she said, "Shall we light the menorah?" Because that's what we do on a Friday night. We light the candles, we have the wine, we say the blessings. Baruch atah Adonai, Elchenu melech olam. "No," says Elijah, "it's to be put away in a cupboard." And everyone was a little surprised because he'd made such an issue about having this menorah, and then he didn't want to use it. It was just put away in a cupboard. And the next year at Yom Kippur, she said, "Shall we light it?" And he said, "No, it's to go in the cupboard." And that menorah, that beautiful silver menorah that had meant so much to Rabbi Mendoza and such a sacrifice to give it to Elijah, just sat in a cupboard, never lit, never looked at, never used. Now, it's easy sometimes, isn't it, to look at a situation and make a judgment. Do you think Elijah did the right or the wrong thing? Who knows? Everyone's terribly worried here. "I don't know. Will it be held against me? What's the right answer?" There is no right answer, is there? Because we don't know a complete plan. Elijah had done what he'd been told. 10 years passed. And then they got news that Rabbi Mendoza had died. And his wife thought, surely now he will take out the menorah and light it. But he didn't. For one whole year and a day, he didn't. And then, quite without warning, the night after Yom Kippur, a year and a day after Rabbi Mendoza had died, Elijah went to the cabinet, he took the menorah, and he lit each of those candles, and he placed it on the table. It burned so bright. And they had a feast, and there were prayers. And when everyone had gone, his wife said to him, "Elijah, I just need to know why. Why did you never light that menorah?" And this is the story that Elijah told, that had come to him in a dream. Did you know that every good deed that you do creates an angel? Every good deed. But if you do a good deed with a slightly not perfect motive, the angel that is created has a fault. Maybe a limp like me. Maybe something not quite as strong as it should be. Maybe not enough feathers in its wings. Now, when Rabbi Mendoza had given the menorah, he didn't want to give it. Because, you see, the menorah had belonged to a farming couple. And one year, there had been a drought. And there was no money. And the farmer had gone to Rabbi Mendoza, and Rabbi Mendoza had willingly lent him the money. And when he'd said, "What do you want as security?" Rabbi Mendoza said, "That menorah," because he loved it. And in his heart, he secretly hoped that they wouldn't be able to pay the money back so he could have the menorah. And when indeed they couldn't pay the money back, because he wasn't a bad man, it was with a heavy heart they gave him the menorah. And he said, "You may stay and you may farm. That's all I wanted." So you see, the angel that had been created was blind. Completely blind. And when Rabbi Mendoza had died and stood before the Creator and the scales had been weighed, it was indeed said that he was a truly good man and his good deeds outweighed any bad. But the angel that had to guide him to the gates of paradise must volunteer. And the angel that volunteered was his blind angel. And for a year and a day, they had wandered, trying to find the gates of paradise. Until a dream had come to Elijah. Now is the time to light the menorah, when all will be made whole. And when he lit those lights, that blind angel could see the flames, could see the light so brightly that he led Rabbi Mendoza straight to the gates of paradise. And as for Elijah, well, that candlestick was there that could be borrowed by anybody. For high days, holidays, weddings, funerals, whatever you wanted, you would go to Elijah and say, "May I borrow Rabbi Mendoza's silver candlestick?" And he would say, "Yes, but burn it bright to celebrate his blind angel that finally led him to the gates of paradise." Thank you very much.
What an interesting story Elijah's menorah is. It was a delight to hear it from Shauna Lee, and my mind settled on that part of the story in which Elijah knows he has to ask for a gift from Rabbi Mendoza. And it brought up for me a memory I remember in what would turn out to be one of the very last visits to my grandmother's bedside. After some talking and laughing and remembering together, she asked me if there was anything of hers that I would like to have as a gift after she passed away. Well, I wasn't really prepared for that question. But she was serious about it, and so I tried to make a thoughtful choice. And I knew my grandmother had a copy of a book that contained the journal writings of an ancestor, my third great-grandfather. It was the story of part of our family. The family had compiled and published the book, and a copy was given to pretty much every family member in my grandparents' generation. But in my generation of the family, it was rare to have a copy. We were all born long after the book's printing. So I asked my grandmother if I might have her copy of that book. And she chuckled and said, "Oh, that? Well, you can have it right now if you want." And she reached into a dresser drawer and handed it to me. Now, in Shauna Lee's story, the gift of the menorah may have been difficult for Rabbi Mendoza to give, but it was easier for my grandmother to give the gift of that book. And it's a gift that still gives to me every time I open it up. And like the angels in Shauna Lee's story that guide people to paradise, the gift of my family story has helped guide me through some of the difficulties and challenges of life in my time. It's a gift I'll always be thankful for, and a reminder of how important it might be for me to pass my own story along to the people in the generations after me. And that's where Shauna Lee's story took me. Where did it take you, and who will you take along?
There's a lot coming up, but first I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Top of Mind, and it's perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can sometimes be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough, important topic. An award-winning host, Julie Rose, talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that are sure to challenge you. Now, they're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all kinds of ways to find Top of Mind and listen whenever you like, whenever you need it. Top of Mind with Julie Rose from BYU Radio. It's great to have you with us, and I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and in this podcast, Stephen Cap Perry, the host, in each episode talks with a different person about that person's faith tradition. These guests talk about their relationship with the divine that will strengthen your faith, and Steve is a great listener. It's a podcast that helps you celebrate the power of faith and belief, a podcast on which you'll hear stories and accounts from believers of all kinds told in their own words. You can listen to In Good Faith wherever you hear our show. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of places to listen to In Good Faith on demand. It's a pleasure to be with you on the Apple Seed today, where we have another healing story to share, this time from Colombian storyteller Carolina Quiroga. It's the Mayan myth called Ixchel and the Dragonflies. Here's Carolina.
So this story actually comes from the Maya people in Guatemala. And there are many versions of this story, but one that I like the most is that one that you can find in a collection of folktales called The Moon in the Well. And this story is called Ixchel and the Dragonflies. In the land of the wandering jaguar, the sacred deer, the magnificent Quetzal bird, and the conquering ants, in the land of the turquoise sea and the jaded mountains, in the land of the Maya, the moon was said to be the most beautiful of all the heavenly bodies. People would spend hours during clear nights just admiring Ixchel, the moon. But Ixchel, she had a busy agenda. She was in charge of watching over the tides of the ocean, steadily guiding them in and out. She would also help sway over the pulse of life, female fertile cycle in agriculture, and she would guide midwives, healers, and weavers. But her favorite pastime was traversing the cosmic streams, paddling in her canoe, and admiring the stars. Sometimes, Ixchel would shine boldly. Other times, she would completely wrap herself beneath her silken shawl, so no one would get to see, not even a sliver of her luminous cheek. And then in silence, she would glide across the Milky Way. In the meantime, Itzamna, the sun, was secretly in love with her. Oh, he would watch her as much as he could. He would strain his ray lights trying to catch a glimpse of her. And sometimes, Ixchel would slightly open her silken shawl so Itzamna, the sun, would get to see her earlobe. And when he was lucky, he would get to see her shoulder. Oh, the harder he looked at her, the brighter she shone. And this waiting and watching and shining and flirting went on for eons, so the story goes. In the land of the Maya, there are two seasons, the calm season and the storm season. And the storms were created by Chac, the rainmaker. And Chac will get really bored during the calm season. And you know what happens when the gods get bored, right? They tend to gossip. And Jack loved stirring things up. So one day, Jack went to the moon's palace while Ixchel was away to visit her guardian, her abuelo, grandfather. And so Jack said, "Ay, abuelo, 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 grandpa. You know that I see things everywhere. And just the other day, I saw a glint in the sun's eye. It's some nice eyes for Ixchel. Ugh." Well, abuelo, grandfather knew that Jack was prone to theatricals. So he said,
Jack, I haven't seen anything different. Not really.
But Jack insisted. Well, to me, just to me, not that everybody's talking about this yet, but to me, it's some Naz ray lights. The sun ray lights are like arrows of desire for Ixchel. Ugh! When Jack left, Grandfather Abuelo could not get that thought out of his mind. This was unthinkable. Itzamna, the sun, and Ixchel, the moon, could not come together. Ixchel's domains was of the night and guiding midwives, healers, and weavers, while Itzamna's, the sun's domains, was of the day and nourishing the crops. If these two were going to come together, do you know what that is? An eclipse. Yes, if an eclipse would happen, floods and darkness would come upon the earth. No. That had to be stopped. In the meantime, Jack was bored to death. And this time he decided to pay another visit to another fellow that lived on top of the Jade Mountain. Vulture. So Jack said, "You know, Mr. Vulture, that I hear things everywhere. And just the other day I heard that whoever gets to marry Ixchel will become the king of the skies." Well, when Jack left, Vulture could not get that thought out of his mind. These were not the times where Vulture was already eating dead meat. That's another story. But he was already eating rotten vegetables and well-matured fruits, which not exactly makes him an attractive suitor. And the whole idea of becoming the king of the skies was certainly an intriguing thought. Well, Vulture was a meek fellow, but he was quite persistent. After that, every morning before dawn, he would fly up the skies to visit Ixchel and say something like, "Jewel of the skies, I couldn't help to notice how radiantly you glowed through the clouds last night." Well, of course, these visits did not pass unseen to Itzamna, the sun, who grew a little bit jealous. Well, the calm season was nearly over, and this time Jack decided to speed things up. So he went back to the moon's palace to visit Abuelo, grandfather, and said, "Abuelo, abuelo, grandfather, everybody is talking, and they are saying that Vulture is planning to elope, run away with Ixchel. And to prevent that, Itzamna, the sun, is planning to kidnap her. But I'm sure you're well aware of the situation, right?" "Well, of course, grandfather was not. But he pretended to be. So he said,
"Of course, Chuck, of course. I am well aware of the situation, but I'm still trying to decide on what to do, what to do."
Oh, Chuck knew what to do. And so Chuck said, "Well, abuelo, abuelo, you know I like to brainstorm. And I've been steering some thundery ideas. And so Chuck went on telling Grandfather what he had been thinking, more so what he had been scheming. And at the end, Abuelo Grandfather was convinced of this conspiracy, and he was encouraging Chuck to be brave and bold in that heroic mission that he was embarking. But honestly, if the rumors of this love triangle were true or not, we really don't know. Well, so what was special about that day? Chuck was poised upon the sea, ready to release the biggest storm ever seen. First, he brought down the clouds. Then he sent his fierce winds that came with so much violence. They went everywhere, and they announced that everybody needed to find shelter. Then he sent his thunderclaps, ba-bum! And they came so violently that they nearly jolted the morning star Venus out of its place in the skies. But the worst was about to come. Chuck had readied his axes, and he began to toss the axes against the clouds. And when the axes were hitting the clouds, they were creating lightning bolts. And the lightning bolts began to strike the earth here and there, here and pa! There. One of those lightning bolts struck Ixchel. She fell from the skies and sank into the waters of the ocean. And fearing for her life, she turned herself into a crab. And then she left herself go, thinking that she would be just fine. But she was wrong. Chuck was so blinded by his own rage that the lightning bolts began to pierce the waters of the ocean, hitting her here and there, here and there. Until Chuck grew bored and calm came back. Ixchel's lifeless body was found floating in the waters of the ocean, next to her canoe. Then, to rescue the pieces of her lifeless body, came, crossing the oceans, the forests, the mountains, the deserts, 400 dragonflies. And they gently picked up Ixchel and placed her on her canoe. And then they took her canoe back to the moon's palace, to her abuelo, Grandfather, who was devastated.
Ay, mi niña.
Grandfather couldn't believe it. He couldn't help but to blame himself for what had happened to his granddaughter. If only he hadn't listened to Chuck, to his gossip. For 13 days and 13 nights, Grandfather grieved. For 13 days and 13 nights, the 400 dragonflies covered Ixchel and her canoe, as if her canoe was her coffin. And they hum, 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 hum. On the 13th night, Grandfather asked the dragonflies if they could take her to the cenotes, the entrances of the underworld. It was time to say goodbye. And so, the 400 dragonflies elevated themselves in the air and flew away. But to Grandfather's surprise, Ixchel was no longer dead. Instead, she rose up full of life. All those days and nights that the dragonflies had been humming, they were not grieving for her. They were not giving her a farewell. They were filling her up with their life force. Ixchel resumed her place in the skies as the moon goddess of the Maya. And of course, she resumed her busy agenda. As for what happened to Chuck and Vulture, well, those are two different stories. The Quiche Maya that tell this story will tell you too. do not underestimate the power of a dragonfly. One is steady, fast, and strong. But 400, we all together can make miracles happen. So let's begin. Thank you.
That was Carolina Quiroga with Ixchel and the Dragonflies. Have you ever had an offense or a wound that was difficult to get over? Who or what helped you to heal? Did you find over time that your wounds made you more sensitive to the wounds of others? That sometimes happens. How have you been able to share your life force or light with others? I bet you've got stories to share about that, stories that might help someone else to heal. We want to thank Carolina and Shanali for sharing with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. Our audio engineer is DJ Cromarty, and the rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. And if you like today's podcast, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review, and tell your friends. That's how the podcast grows. We also love to receive emails. Email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, @byu.edu. Your thoughts and comments help us shape the future of the Appleseed. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.